237?
No, 37.
Just 37?
How firm a foundation ye saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have learned, to you who for refuge to Jesus have learned. Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strength and be healthy if God seeks to send out of hell by my precious
God.
Prefer my brother this morning. I will say that I feel the Lord has given me a message, and it may be for me as much as anybody generally is. The time is very short this morning, and the message is very long. And the thought came to me that maybe the Lord wants it divided up and have part this morning and part tonight. So we want you to pray that the Lord will help me to know just when to stop for this portion of the service. Many times we stand behind this desk, and because of the pressures, sometimes the faces of the people can be a pressure to us. Moses, the Lord spoke to Moses and said that he would not be afraid of their faces. And there are times that we need that kind of grace to stand before you, that we not be afraid of your faces. The enemy many times will use that kind of pressure to cause our words to not be clear. We understand in our heart what we're wanting to say. We understand in our mind what we intend to say, and somehow it comes out. And the enemy does all that he can to hinder a message that the Lord gives in order for it to be clear and precise. As the Lord began to open this up to me this week, I began to say that to the Lord. Lord, how can I say that in a precise manner that it will be understood and not misconstrued as being in compromise? My stand this morning is that I am not for compromise. I am for the true church of God. I am for the true standard that the Bible teaches. I embrace it. I want to live it. I want it a part of my life. And if by chance I'm some way misunderstood this morning, and some way my words are so feeble that I'm not able to express to you the burden of my heart, I ask you to pray for me and maybe come and discuss it with me. I'm not past reproof or correction. But as I have prayed this week, I have not only asked the Lord to give me some understanding of the subject that I will, by the help of the Lord, give this morning, I've asked the Lord to prepare your hearts and your minds also. I've prayed for each one of you that would be here this morning, that you would also be willing to accept it and understand it. And as I say, this is a message that will take two times, I'm sure, now. And maybe if you don't hear the second part, you'll need to in order to see the balance of it all. You pray for us. The subject that the Lord has laid upon our heart is judgment. Having a judgmental spirit. Being judgmental with our brother and our sister. And I think that we all need that at times. We're all human beings of the earth. And we all have opinions and ideas and interpretations and so forth. But I find this a very serious subject this morning, even for myself. And I'm not saying that I'm above any of you this morning. I'm not saying that I am someone that has never judged anyone. The Lord has reproved me for some things through this message, has given me some understanding of myself, and I believe that the church needs it also. I don't believe that I'm different from anyone else. The Lord tells us in His Word for us not to compare ourselves among ourselves. And He says that that is not wise. Why is that not wise this morning? Why should we not compare ourselves among ourselves? Well, as the Lord began to open this up to my understanding, and I began to look at my own life, look at my own walk with the Lord, I saw that I could be in very dangerous places if I compared myself among my brethren. If I should in some way measure myself to someone who has a little bit of light, someone who is just newly starting out with the Lord, just a babe, if I compared myself to that person, I would stand a chance of walking in back of light myself. If my walk with the Lord has advanced to the point that I'm further down the road than this individual, and I see this individual is not measured up on every line, and I begin to say to myself, well, looky there, they can do it and they can be saved. Why can't I do it and I be saved? If I come to that place that I convince myself that I can do the very same thing that they're doing, I'm in trouble with the Lord. I can begin to walk in back of light. I can hinder my progress with the Lord. So I see the wisdom of not comparing myself to someone who is newly saved. If I should begin to compare myself to someone who has been saved a long time, someone who has been saved for 50 years, do you know at the end of your walk with the Lord, if you're down close to the end of your walk this morning, the Lord has taught you many things that some of us have not learned. And if I have come to that place that I measure myself with that person, and I begin to try to stretch myself to take in what I think I see in your life, I could stretch myself beyond the grace that God has for me in my individual walk. The Scripture teaches us for us to walk in the light while we have the light, lest darkness come upon us. That is our duty before the Lord this morning, is that you and I, each one, embrace the light that is shown upon our path. This is not compromise this morning. This is growth. This is our individual growing areas. We have children in the school. We do not expect our little kindergartners to do the same thing that our 11th and 12th graders do. We don't do it. It would be folly. It would be stupid. If we began to think that they could work the algebra problems, oh, that would be so stupid. You and I are on different paths this morning, different areas. The Lord has shown light in different ways, yet it's all the same light. I don't want to be misunderstood this morning that I'm saying that we compromise, that this can be saved and that can be saved and we take all things in. That is not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying that the Lord has spoken to us and said, it is not wise for you to compare yourselves among yourselves. If we should begin to compare ourselves and measure ourselves by someone who is walking in back of light, do you see the great danger that you would be in should you follow someone that has begun to backslide? Oh, the Lord was so wise in giving us this instruction that we not compare ourselves. When we begin to compare ourselves and we begin to judge our brother and we begin to look at their faults and we begin to look at their shortcomings, we're also on dangerous ground this morning. We're in a place that we can become self-righteous. That's one of the dangers of being judgmental. We can begin to be puffed up. The scripture says over in 1 Corinthians, I believe, it says that knowledge puffeth up. You ever thought about that? Knowledge puffeth up. But it says, someone might help me, charity edifies. That's what it says. Would you please come and get me some Kleenex? First Corinthians 8 and 1. But it's just a portion of that scripture, is it not? Knowledge puffeth. You want to read the whole thing? Now as touching things offered to idols, we all have knowledge.
Knowledge puffeth up.
But charity edifieth. Do you know what they were having in this particular place right here? There were some that felt like they could eat the food that was sacrificed to idols, and some felt that they could not. There were some that were honoring days and some that were not, and they were all in the church. Some were, some weren't, but this was what Paul was dealing with at this time. Some had light, in other words. Some had understanding. Some knew that the Lord just created all of these things. I'm not eating this thing offered unto idol as being sacrificed unto that idol. I am simply eating it because it is food. And then it says, when we get so puffed up with our knowledge or our understanding or our light that we think ourselves above everybody else, we're doing a harm, a great harm to a weaker brother that doesn't have that light and understanding. But it says, charity edifieth. I believe this morning that if we could all learn the secret to that one little scripture, we could be so much farther down the road in leading our brother, in being an example before our brother, in being all that we can in the church of God. I believe if we could understand that right there, we could be farther down the road. Maybe we could even be better in our effect out in the world. I feel, and I'm not judging anyone here this morning, it's just how the Lord has presented it to me. And I see it in myself also, that I have a tendency to look down on those that are out there in sectism. Yes, we know from the lessons that we've studied, we don't want to be puffed up by the knowledge that we have, that is sectism, that we heard about all of the lessons about the daughter being just like the mother, and we see those things and we understand those things, but we also know that we need to win them. We also know that the scripture says, come out from among them and be ye separate. That message could not go out if those that were among them weren't saved. There are some out there in sectism this morning that are saved to all that they know and understand. And they have never seen the church of God. And they don't know us. What about us? Help us, Lord. It is not wise for us to compare ourselves among ourselves. Judging one another. What are we supposed to judge? Does the scripture at any place tell us, you judge those people, you judge this situation? The scripture tells us that the saints are going to judge the world, but not right here. I believe we're going to be part of that judgment day.
Do you know what it means to judge? One of the definitions was to form an opinion of. Just an opinion of. Help us. Help us, Lord. I want to say again, I hope that you're understanding the burden of my heart this morning. And if you could hear it from to the end, I believe you would see it all in the right perspective. Another definition for it was to pronounce a sentence against. How many of us have cut people off? Well, they made a real mistake. They cannot be saved. They can't possibly be saved. How many of us have even looked at our loved ones who look like they're so far from God that they will never be saved? I've done it. I did it with my own daughter. I thought she would never be saved. But I was judging. I was judging from what I was seeing with my eyes. I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. I didn't know that the Lord was working with her heart. Had been for over a year. Had been waking her up in the night. Had been causing her to weep before Him. Getting down before Him and saying, Lord, don't give up on me. I didn't know those things. I was praying. But I hate to tell you, I was looking at it from my point of view, from my opinion. She looked so far from God, I wondered how she could ever get back. Oh, listen, this morning, I've learned a great lesson. We all need it. We're here to win souls if we're saved this morning. Our whole purpose is to win somebody else that they might have eternal life. That they might escape a devil's hell. That's what our purpose is this morning. Another definition is to censor. These are serious definitions. Who's to be the judge? We've said this here before, and I'm sure that Matthew will never forget it. One time, Sister Patsy was correcting him. And he felt he was innocent in that, and he said, you can't see my heart. She never forgot it, nor did I. And it came back to me as this was all being unfolded to me. I hate to tell you this, but I had to really pray this week for the Lord to open up my understanding of all of this, that I could even deliver it this morning. You can't see my heart. Did you know that none of us here this morning, we can't see each other's heart? No. We can't see what the Lord is doing with each of us behind the scenes, in the dark of the night, as we lay upon our beds, as we go about our business. We might see some mistakes and some faults in one another, but we mustn't give up on one another. We mustn't come to the place that we are judgmental, that we censor, and that we condemn, and that we cut off. We have not that right. God is the only one that can say, my mercy is through in this place. God is the only one that can cut a person off. Help us, Lord. Turn to Matthew 7. I'd like to say that I think one of the reasons the Lord has given this to us is that we can, and I'm not talking about just you, I'm talking about me too, we can be more effective for the Lord. We can be more effective for the Lord. Walking in the light that He shines on our pathway, holding to the standard of the Church of God just like He gives it, not deviating from it, but not judging our brother at the same time. There's a secret here. And Jesus is the one that said it. I didn't say it. The 7th chapter of Matthew in the 1st verse says, Jesus said, judge not. You judge not. It says that ye be not judged. Do you know when we have a tendency to be judgmental, invariably it will come around back to us? Invariably this will happen. I have watched this thing. You might say, well, why didn't you learn from it? Well, I thought I had. But the Lord began to show me a few things in my own life. Have you ever seen people or known of people that were very judgmental when somebody failed? And maybe they were very vocal about that thing, and they condemned that thing, and they let people know where they stood on that thing. Do you know we don't have to defend our stand? Just stand. That's all we need to do. Just stand. I've watched this. I'm specifically thinking of a certain individual who I love, who in whom I have confidence. I believe they're saved, and I believe they meant well. We can all mean well. Let's keep that in mind too. Certain thing happened, and they became very vocal about it, and they became very judgmental about this thing. And in 6 months' time, they had to go through the very same thing 2 or 3 times. Not in themselves. Yes, in themselves. I think 3 members of their family had to go through the very same thing. Jesus said, judge not, because I don't want you to be judged also. This thing's going to turn around and come back to you after a while, he says. There's another reason now he wants us not to judge. Look at verse 2. It says, for what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. That's the reason. If we have this kind of spirit where we're picking, where we're looking at people's faults, we're not being compassionate, we're not showing them mercy in this thing, here they have failed, they have utterly failed. What have I done to lift them up? Have I just pushed them down a little bit farther? Have I just judged them and you can't possibly be saved and do that? Oh, listen, there's something we can do. I think about where the Jews, the religious Jews, they brought the woman that was taken in adultery to Jesus. They did one thing right, didn't they? They did one thing right. They brought her to the source where she could get some help. Oh, they didn't intend for it to be that way. They were condemning. But listen, you and I can do something right. When our brother fails, when our brother has a fault, we can do something right. We can take him to Jesus. Oh, that was a wonderful scene. Jesus didn't condemn. It was the law. She should have been put to death. She deserved death. Have you ever deserved death? I have. There were times that I deserved death, and she did too. Oh, let's just jump on the bandwagon now. Here's a bunch of men. They caught her right in the act. And Jesus, what did he do? He didn't say a word. Got down and wrote something in the ground, on the dirt, in the dirt. And their hearts smote them, and they got up and walked out. And he looked up and he said, where are your accusers? Something to that effect. She says, they're gone. And he says, neither do I condemn thee. I forgive thee. Go and sin no more. Precious scene there. Who are we following this morning? We following our pastor, some man that we're looking up to, We're following Jesus' example. He's the one that's told us how to behave ourselves. He's the one that left the example, as we're going to see here. He says here, "For what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." And he went right on and he said, "Why do you behold the little mote that's in your brother's eye, when you have a beam in your own eye? Oh Lord, help us. Why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but you don't consider the beam that is in your own eye?" Are you so perfect, in other words, that you're able to help your brother with the smallest fault? What are we supposed to do? Consider ourselves. We need to consider ourselves. Lord, help us. Turn to Romans, the second chapter. I really need prayer. This subject is so vast. I know that I cannot present all the burden that I have on my heart this morning. It says, "Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest." This is so plain. You know, I think that if we were supposed to be judgers, that Jesus would not have put that in His word, "Judge not." He wouldn't have done it. His very principle of His life was that. He was the one that could judge. He had the right, the authority, and He still does. And God carries that authority right now to judge people. But this says, "For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things." Well, you might say, "Well, I don't do the same things that they do." No, but you see, we have a tendency to categorize faults, sins. This sin is worse than that sin. This fault is worse than that fault. I don't have those kind of things in my life. You know, the Lord looks on us a little bit differently than we look at each other. I may, at the very same time that I'm judging my brother who has a certain fault, I may have a fault that's bigger than his and not see it. And maybe those around me sees it. I can't see it. I can't see it. One time, when I was working up at Guthrie, I had a certain individual come to me, and it was just the two of us after school one day, and they said, "You don't know what a trial you are to me." Well, the truth of the matter was, this individual was a great trial to me. I could have turned right around and said, "Well, you know, we must be a trial to each other." I didn't say that. If you have somebody that's a trial to you, that's your problem. That's your problem. I said to this person, I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry I've been a trial to you." I said, "Would you please tell me what I'm doing and I'll stop." Wouldn't tell me. I begged them to tell me because I was sincere. I don't want to be a trial to anybody. And if I could just know what I'm doing to hinder somebody, I'll stop. Well, some months went on by, and the same individual came to me again. "You don't know what a trial you are to me, but I've got the victory," they said. Again, I said the same thing. I said, I'm sorry I'm a trial to you. If you'll just tell me, I'll do my best to stop whatever I'm doing that's a trial to you." Wouldn't tell me. A third time, after service one night at Guthrie, this is during an assembly meeting, camp meeting, they came to me after service, said the same words again, but they had the victory over me, they said. I said the very same thing to them again. "I'm so sorry if you'll just tell me." Listen, I want to tell you something. When somebody is a trial to you, rest assured that you're a trial to them. Always remember that. You and I are not above being a trial to one another. And if we begin to pick at one another, looking at their faults, we'll take on a little spirit of, I am better than you. I am further down the road than you. I'm able to take more than you. I'm able to be more holy, more righteous. Oh, let's all be humble in this. Let's consider our brother. Let's consider our sister. This says, wherefore thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Very same thing. You just condemn yourself if you judge somebody. See how serious it is for us to judge our brother and our sister? I find it serious this morning. Turn to Luke, the 9th chapter. We're going to look at some more that Jesus said. The 9th chapter, starting at the 51st verse. It says that when it came to pass that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went, and they entered into the village, to a village of the Samaritans, to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, two well-beloved disciples, James and John. Now think about it. These were two that followed close to Jesus. John was the one that was called the beloved. These were men that Jesus went out and chose. And I believe he loved them both. But James and John saw this. And they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down out of heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? They judged the situation. And they wanted to do something about it. This is another danger of being judgmental, because then we want to do something about it. If we go and try to straighten our brother out, straighten our sister out, many times we will offend them to the point that sometimes they can never be won. What does the scripture say about a brother that is offended? What is it? He's as a harder to be won than a fenced city. That's what happens. So what am I supposed to do when I see something happening? Well, let me tell you something. One thing that I've learned, and I'm still learning, or he wouldn't have given it to me. Still learning. There was a situation right here in our congregation. An individual that I love dearly. And I saw some things. You and I cannot help but see some things if we have our eyes open. We can't help it. We're going to see some things. What's our reaction to what we see? How do we treat that person? How do we react to the situation? That's what matters. Well, this situation even affected some others in the congregation. And they even... And I want to tell you, the Lord worked it out. The Lord did it. That individual stopped that. That individual, no one would condemn them now over that thing. Do you see how the Lord wants us to to pray for our brother rather than going and trying to straighten him out? Well, James and John says, well, let's just call down fire on these people. They did a bad thing. They wouldn't receive our Lord. And look at the answer Jesus gave. He says, and I just can't imagine the way he said it. You know, he was the Lord. He was the Son of God. He was the one that had all of the right to condemn and to call down fire if he wanted to. He had the power. I'm not sure that they really had the power, but they thought they did. And I can just imagine the way he said it. Little children, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. You just don't know. He says, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy. Listen, let's remember that always. Jesus didn't come to destroy men's lives. He came to save them. And that should be our goal too. Not to destroy one another. One scripture tells us something about to beware about backbiting. I can't quite quote that right now. Lest ye destroy one another, I believe it says. Oh, listen. Let's hold each other up. Let's have this spirit that Jesus had here. I'm not willing to destroy these people that didn't receive me. I'm not going to cut them off. There's going to be hope when I die. I believe he thought that. When I've given my life and the Holy Spirit has come, these same individuals may receive me. Oh, thank the Lord. Okay, you want to read it?
But if ye bite and devour one another,
take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. I feel that in this there is a secret to our successful walk with the Lord. I believe that. I believe it with myself. I believe it in working with my neighbors. I believe it. They don't have light and understanding. Where do they stand in all of this? Here they are, they're calling for prayer, and they're church members. One of them is a minister in the Baptist church. How am I to treat him? Well, a thought came to me that the scripture tells me that the Lord knoweth them or those that are his. That all out there could be individuals that are his, and if I'm cutting them off, I'm hurting myself. I'm casting away. In one place it tells us this, that you're casting away that which is good, because it says the goodness of the Lord leadeth men to repentance when I cut them off. See? Lord, help us. Turn to Mark, the 9th chapter now. We're going to look at another 9th and the 38th verse. Now we're going to consider these people that are out there. And I want you to know that I believe in the Church of God. I believe in the one true Church of God. I believe that we are the Bride of Christ. I do not doubt it for a minute. And it's all right for us to believe that. We must believe that. You and I have light on that. We have light on that. And so we must walk in our light. Do you see here? We can't lay it all down and say, well, I'm going to go out here and just fellowship everybody else. I can't do that. Not when it comes to spiritual things. I can be kind. I can be loving. I can be compassionate. I can be merciful. All of those are attributes of the Father. And they must be attributes of our life also. Characteristics. Lord, help me. When we have had the light, and we turn from the light, the Scripture says, great is thy darkness. If you and I should decide, well, I think that I can go to this Baptist church over here. My neighbor's a Baptist. He's a preacher. I'm going to go and I'm going to let him know I fellowship him. I believe he's saved. I believe he's walking in all the light he has. And I begin to take in everybody like that. I can walk him back of light. See, there's a balance here. There's a balance here. But yet to be judgmental, to be condemning, to censor, to cut people off is not as the Father would have us do. I believe it with all my heart. Look at this scripture here. Verse 38. And John said unto him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. Help us, Lord. And we forbade him. They rebuked him. You're not with us. What are you doing out here casting out devils? You're not one of the disciples. There were many disciples other than the 12. Remember that. But this one was doing it in Jesus' name, and John said he was not following us. And we forbade him because he didn't follow us. Lord, help us. This is not compromise. This is in the Word. I didn't make it up. So we have neighbors and we have relatives that are as sincere as they know how to be. I want to win them. And it takes much wisdom, takes much understanding for me to know how to win my brother that's out there in sectism. Right? Yes. And the Lord knows how to season our life with the salt of the Holy Spirit. Season our words with the salt of the Holy Spirit that we may win them. I believe this. But now let's look at what Jesus said. We're following Jesus this morning. Jesus said, Forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. We were sitting there in the emergency room last night there at the hospital with our neighbor. Our neighbor called us. She was so upset, she couldn't even finish a whole sentence. She said, Oh, you don't need to come down. We said, Well, we'll go to prayer. She started crying. We had prayer for our neighbors, and then we got ready and went on down to the hospital and was there for about 2.5 hours. And you ought to be in an emergency room sometime on a Saturday night. It's really something. All kinds of things, people in trouble coming in. Here came a whole group in, and we could tell that they had something really bad wrong. Their individual had not arrived at the hospital yet. It had been a church hayride, I believe they said. And one of the girls had fallen off, and they didn't even know if she was alive. They just got the word, and here they all came up there waiting for her to come. And 2.5 hours later, and let me tell you, we need to really thank the Lord that we can come before the Lord, and He will hear us immediately. There were a lot of people came in there and waited 2.5 hours to see a doctor. Well, about 2 hours later, after they all came up there waiting for their loved one to come, one of the father came out, and gave the good news. I think it ran over her hand, but it didn't even break a bone. And it skinned her up and broke a pelvic bone right here, cracked it. She had just bruised up, but she didn't lose her life. And this man said to all of his people he was with, he said, well, the doctor said, well, she was lucky. And this man said, no, she wasn't lucky. He said, it was God. Well, it made me think of this scripture right here. And all of these people that they were with. Well, we could look on that thing. I could begin to say, they were on a hayride. And look how they're dressed. And I could have kept on saying that. And then here comes another couple that happened to come upon the scene of our neighbors as they were having the wreck. And they had aided them in some way. And then they went on to their party. And then they came back to the hospital to check on my neighbor to see how he was. Had never met my neighbor before. And they began to tell how that they had prayed for him. And I could not tell these people even knew the Lord from their outward appearance. And when they got through talking, they said, could we all have prayer together? Lord, help us. We have light. Let us walk in our light. Let us be an example. But oh, let us take the example of the Lord. They think they're serving the Lord to all that they know. I believe the Lord put these things in my life to teach me something. I was looking at this woman with her big dangly earrings and all of this. And yet they wanted to pray for our neighbors right there. Was not ashamed. They said, can we have prayer right here? Lord, help us. Help us. Jesus said, forbid them not. For if they're not against us, they're for us. Wherever the balance of that is, let the Lord help us to understand it. I'm not compromising this morning. I want to walk as pure as I know how to walk. I want to hold the standard of the Church of God exactly like I see it has been revealed to me. But I need to go out there in the world. And I need to be among my brethren right here. With a greater capacity to love. A greater capacity for compassion and mercy. That nobody be lost. Nobody be lost. I've kept you so long, it's 20 after 12 already. I want you to pray that the Lord will help me to know how to finish this tonight, because there's another side to this. There is a side of discernment. See? We don't want to present it all as don't judge anything. There's another side to this. And there's a way for us to live and be pleasing unto the Lord and have discernment too. I believe I'm going to stop right here. Don't even feel like I'm half finished. But I want you to pray this afternoon that the Lord will bless the message tonight. That He'll open it up to us in a clear fashion. And that we can see the other side of this coin. We can't present one side and not talk about the other, see. So you pray for us that the Lord will help us.